Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is in 2 Corinthians 12. We'll read from the Beck translation. To keep me from feeling proud because such wonderful things were revealed to me, a thorn was put into my flesh, the devil's messenger, to plague me and to keep me from getting proud. 3 times I begged the Lord to have him leave me alone, but he told me, my love is enough for you. When you're weak, my power is doing its best work. So I delight rather to feel proud of my weaknesses in order that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why I'm glad to be weak and mistreated, to suffer hardships, to be persecuted and hard-pressed for Christ. You see, when I am weak, then I am strong. This is our text. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dear friends of mine. Well, we've been celebrating the 4th of July weekend. I suppose some of you may have watched a parade. Some of you may have watched fireworks on TV or otherwise. Or maybe you thought of some hymns that go with our nation. God Bless Our Native Land is one of them, and the many more, God Bless the USA. Also, some of you might be thinking of the Supreme Court's decision recently. In the view of the Supreme Court's dealing with same-sex marriage, we pray for God's special protection for Christian pastors, schools, and congregations, so they may continue to teach and follow God's word. Be sure to read Pastor Greg's newsletter article about this. As we look at today's text, we say God's love is enough. We are looking at different things, different difficulties that might come into your life and mine. A chronic illness. It could be therapy that is taking place. Surgeries. And times in the hospital. May we remember that God's love is there for us at all times. Maybe some days you'll say, may God give me a little extra measure of his love. In the hymn we just sang, as I was preparing the sermon, it just came to mind. I need thee every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. In the verse preceding our text, St. Paul was given a glimpse of God's glory in heaven. Just as Ezekiel before him had such a vision, and John the Apostle also had this, now Paul had this opportunity to see heaven. He didn't know if it was in a vision or whether he bodily was taken there to be in heaven for a short period of time. Paul's life was filled with such joy. It was not filled with a lot of joy. This is one special difference. He spent time in prison. Remember that he was shipwrecked. There were beatings, stones, and as the Lord's apostle, he was mistreated. There's hunger and much danger. He had to face much opposition. Yet God's love made it possible for him to endure all this. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, which Paul describes as a messenger of Satan, to beat him and to make him humble. His little time seeing heaven might have made him very proud. He might have said to his audience, just think of where I've been. I've been in heaven. When are you going to be seeing what I saw? But rather, he became a humble servant of the Lord to tell the message God had for him. There are some people in the 20th and 21st century that you've read about who actually had an out-of-life experience. They died physically. Their soul was transported to heaven or close to it. And as they came back and talked about it, they told of the joy that was there, the love that was there, the beautiful music of heaven. But then they were brought back because it was not their time yet. They were brought back to share God's love with other people. In Job's life, God used the devil as an instrument to make him humble. Remember how much he lost. He was a God-fearing person, but he lost all of his children. He lost all of his property. And then he also had boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. So he was in great misery. His wife at one point said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" But Job responded, "No, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And later on he had this beautiful thought, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Toward the end of Job, probably in Job 38, God comes to him and asks for answers to some questions. And Job confesses his pride and is forgiven. And then God also restores his health. God restores his wealth, gives him a big family again, and twice as much possession as he had had before. It sounds a little bit like a prophet, a Pharisee in the temple in the New Testament. Remember how this Pharisee, as he was talking in the temple, was saying, "God, I thank you that I'm not as other people are." And he went on to explain who these people were. And he also gave tithes of all that he possessed. And he felt he was much better than the tax collector who was also in the temple. But the tax collector simply bowed his head and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He went home justified rather than the publican, rather than the Pharisee who had made such proud boast. There's one commentator who suggests what the thorn of the flesh was that Paul had. Here the eight suggested spiritual temptation, opposition, persecution, sexual temptation, epilepsy, physical appearance, severe headaches, eye trouble, and malarial fever. These are just some suggestions. We're not sure if any of them were the right one. Paul prayed that these might be removed from this. It says three times he prayed, but remember the three is a perfect number in scriptures. So it could be multiple times that he prayed that God would remove this handicap from him. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, your power is made perfect in weakness." So three times, what is God's answer to his prayer? "My grace is there." In his weakness, Paul would be strong because he would depend on the Lord's strength to see him through. The Lord would make him strong in spite of the physical weariness that he must feel. Some people misunderstand prayer. They believe that as soon as they pray, God will immediately answer their prayer and give them what they ask. A boy, a pastor's son, thought he wanted a pocket knife. He prayed about it, and just a bit later, his foot hit against a knife that was there in the dirt. He cleaned it up, and he decided he could use it. He prayed for a bicycle, but then that wasn't answered. He decided that maybe God wanted him to work for that before he would receive it. Some students maybe believe that on the day of the test, if they just pray to God, he'll put into their mind all the things that they listened to over the course, and now they'd be able to put it down on paper. Someone has suggested there are four answers to prayer. One is no. God says, "No, this absolutely will not be given to you." The second and third are slow and grow. It is not the time yet for you to receive this blessing. So go slow, grow a bit more, and then after that growth takes place, then you will receive it. And the fourth one would be, "Yes, I'll do what you ask," and immediately, as soon as you ask it. John Wesley preached 42,000 sermons in his lifetime. He averaged riding 60 to 70 miles per day on horseback and preached three times a day. At the age of 83, he looked back and said, "I wonder how I was able to do it. God's grace was there for me, in a very special measure. God's strength would help Paul endure physical pain. Some of the readings that you go through in the scriptures suggest that he had a physical pain. Opposition. In Galatia, some false teachers came in to teach contrary to what he had said. They started the Old Testament ceremonies all over again. And Paul said, "You observed days and months and times and years. I wonder about you whether I've labored in you in vain." God's strength made possible for him to endure the slander. There's a time in Jerusalem. People misunderstood what had happened. They thought he had taken an uncircumcised person into the temple with him, which was not the case. And so a riot started. The Roman soldiers had to come out to quell the riot. And then he was kept safe as he was taken under cover of night to Caesarea. Well, what lessons can we learn from the text that says God's grace, God's love is enough? A great preacher from England named Spurgeon, when looking at the text, was reminded of a story he had heard about Joseph of the Old Testament. Remember, Joseph in the Old Testament had to see that in the good years, food was set aside, grain was set aside in storehouses, so there'd be enough for the lean years. And he knew that there was more than enough. But then he saw the mouse. And the mouse said, "Will there be enough for me?" And Joseph laughed. As he thought, well, there'd be more than 1,000 years worth for that little mouse to be fed. And yet he wonders if there's enough for him. Certainly there is more than enough. Many people face difficulties, limitations, handicaps, troubles in their lifetimes. God kind of does take care of these situations in the best way. No matter what the situation is, God can take care of us. There will always be enough love for us and all the other people of the world also. Some of you may have read or seen a video called On the Other Side of a Mountain. It told the story of a lady who was injured in a skiing accident. She realized she'd not be able to walk again, but she wanted to be a teacher. And so she applied to colleges. She finally was able to get a college that would accept her. She went through the course and was accepted as a teacher in an Indian school. She felt so fulfilled in that. There's a lady in our congregation in Iowa who was the last 16 years in the wheelchair. She knew it was not because she hasn't prayed right that it was so. The only time she was out of her wheelchair was when her husband took care of her or put her to bed. What a wonderful Bible teacher she was. Her hands were also crippled with arthritis. She could barely hold a pen or a spoon. But yet she rejoiced in the love God had for her. There are some spiritual limitations and handicaps some people have. Over 75% of the world's population have an extreme handicap in that they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Of the 25% that do know about him, we also have a handicap. The one handicap is called sin. And so we acknowledge our sin, we confess it, and receive forgiveness. And then some questions we might ask ourselves. Are we receiving the Word of God often enough? Are we receiving the Lord's Supper often enough so we might be strong in the faith for whatever difficulties we can have? Some people are mentally and socially limited. Some are limited by today's technology. Some have conditions of blindness, deafness, inability to speak. Some have limited eyesight, hearing, and walking. Some have ongoing sickness, treatments, dialysis. Some are limited in how much work they are doing, or can do, or want to do. What are your handicaps? How are you dealing with them? Some are feeling angry about it. We need to continue to ask the Lord for his help with our anger and limitations. Some days we'll also pray that God will give us an extra measure of his love and grace. Some days we'll pray that the Lord keep us on track with what needs to be done. And we might also go to the healing ministry team, Pastor DCE, physicians, and many other people in the medical profession. We thank the Lord for all these helpers he has given us, who are supportive in many ways. May the Lord also provide us with good attitude about the abilities and disabilities we have. May the Holy Spirit continue to equip us for the work we are doing. What kind of prayer life do we have? It should be an active one. Sometime this year, I heard from a pastor in Ortonville. I hadn't realized that he was praying for me, but he's been praying since September for me. And as I thought of that, I thought, well, I need to keep a prayer list so my prayers can be for many people in their time of need. So thank you, Lord, that your love is enough for us. Give us the right attitude about prayer, knowing that you hear and answer prayer in the right way and time. Help us to tie self-worth and humility to the package of our lives. We're worthwhile people because God has chosen us as his sons and daughters. As people chosen to the waters of baptism to belong to the triune God, we thank him. We praise him that his grace and love are enough for us. We don't have to be afraid or worry. In faith, we trust and follow him. We praise him for his care for us and for the world. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We'll continue with our prayers.